so in love with you.
That's President Obama impressively on key. This week, the Romney campaign sampled that footage in an attack ad, saying that Obama's love is directed at his well-heeled Washington cronies and fundraisers. It was Romney's retaliation for Obama's attack ad last week, accusing the warbling Republican of outsourcing jobs in his private sector days. This week, we start with money. Who's got it, who's spending it, and how much they should be required to reveal about it. Romney's camp charged that the president was rewarding his fundraisers with jobs and stimulus money. But how are we to know that Romney's backers are not similarly advantaged? Here's how. Romney's advisor Ed Gillespie said in a conference call with reporters, quote, "Governor Romney's contributors are made public, they're disclosed, and we're going to continue to do that," unquote. So, who's more transparent? This week, the candidates are making that the big question. And yet Tuesday, the Disclose Act, which would have allowed you to better know the people behind super PACs, was smothered in the Senate by filibuster without earning a single Republican vote. The Huffington Post's Dan Frumkin has been following the Disclose Act. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I know maybe it's wrong to ask this of a Huffington Post reporter, which is, you know, an avowedly liberal organization, but help me parse Ed Gillespie's statement. Gillespie must be pointing to some opacity in Obama's campaign that Romney doesn't have.
The thing that has been very confusing to reporters covering politics these days is that sometimes people will say things that are just not true. And reporters have a hard time figuring out what to do with that. Both campaigns, by law, must disclose the donations that go directly to their campaigns. Neither is obliged to disclose what we call bundlers, which is people who are responsible for bundling all of these contributions. President Obama's campaign does disclose those bundlers, which is why a Romney ad can point out who his bundlers are.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney does not, however, disclose his bundlers. So in that sense, Romney's campaign is absolutely less transparent than Obama's. Republicans have traditionally actually favored disclosure. They have said, don't put limits on campaign spending, but just disclose everything. If everybody knows where the money is coming from, there can be no corruption. That was absolutely the Republican Party line. And it was up until basically a couple of years ago when the Republican Party's political prospects were very much tied towards the enormous amounts of money that corporations were willing to give them as long as nobody knew that they were giving it. And that's why Republicans have en masse refused to allow this Disclose Act to go through. Then you have Mitch McConnell saying with a straight face that the reason he's against disclosure is because it stifles the First Amendment.
But the ACLU, not frequently in bed with Republicans, has also opposed it because it extends the period that issue advocates would have to be disclosed. Let me quote from the ACLU's letter. Organizations would face two unsatisfactory choices: protect the privacy of their donors by refraining from issue advocacy, or give up the privacy of their donors and place at risk the opportunity for additional donations by those supporters.
But the point is that nobody in this country, not people, not corporations, not people corporations, has a right to anonymous political speech. That has never been established by anybody. The only exception to that has been in cases like the NAACP in the 50s, where if the members of the NAACP had been exposed, they would have been actually subject to enormous personal risk.
Right. The ACLU cites that case of the NAACP versus Alabama, and I quote, "The lessons of that time must not be lost simply because today's causes are different from those of the civil rights era."
I simply cannot respond to the ACLU letter because I have not seen it. I can tell you that Karl Rove has been making the argument, likening his billionaire corporate donors to members of the NAACP. And I think, frankly, that argument is obscene. If you were outed as a member of the NAACP in the 50s, you could have gotten killed. This is a protection intended for the powerless, not for the already extraordinarily powerful.
You know, the weird thing is that this flood of anonymous political money has been the result of the Supreme Court's Citizens United decision that affirmed that money is speech. But in that decision, the court also suggested that Congress pass a law requiring more disclosure of donors.
Precisely. Congress has specific categories for groups that are involved in politics, and all of those groups must disclose their donors. What's happening here is nonprofit groups organized under, in one case, a section of the IRS code for what's supposed to be social welfare organizations. That's what Crossroads GPS, Karl Rove's group is, or it's supposed to be trade associations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They are being used instead as conduits for vast amounts of money into campaign ads. Those are just loopholes that need to be fixed. And that's what the Disclose Act was trying to do.
Freedom of information is pretty crucial to our program. It's rare that it gets to the top of the political agenda. Do you think that this is going to have any legs?
What's possible is that as we get closer to the election, especially in the swing states, which will be completely inundated by vicious attack ads that are paid for primarily with secret money, the public will get a little ticked off. And I think the Democratic strategy is probably to take the anger against attack ads, which comes up every election, and actually direct it a little bit more at the Republicans, when, of course, both parties are responsible.
People say that they hate attack ads, but...
They work.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Brooke.
Dan Frumkin is the senior Washington correspondent for The Huffington Post.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.